Namaskar.
Namaskar.
I'm here with Mahima. Tell us, please, how you got into meditation and Ananda Marga.
Well, I was brought up as a Catholic, and then when I went to university, I became agnostic. And then I met some people who were talking to me about cosmic consciousness. And this opened my mind up to, it expanded my mind really, to think, well, maybe I'm not separate from God. Maybe I'm a part. I'm a part of that infinite. So I was looking for a meditation group, a yoga group. And I was living in Melbourne at the time, in Australia, 1973. So I looked around. There were lots of different groups around at that time. I went to the different groups, and I didn't get attracted to any of them. And then I saw a poster that said, Ananda Marga, a phone number to ring to go along for classes. And it said, meditation should be as free as sunlight, air, and water. And I like that, because even though water now, of course, does cost a lot of money, but then it didn't. because some of the other groups did charge a lot of money. So I went along to Ananda Marga, and two sisters taught me Bhavanam Kevalam and Samasanas and a bit about Ananda Marga, and I loved it right from the beginning. I loved the fact that we're spiritual, but also activists, social change. And the fact that Baba was in jail at that time was inspiring to me as well, because I thought he must be doing something if he's in jail. I liked the idea of everything about Ananda Marga, and I started doing my meditation regularly, and I went along twice a week to the Jagriti. But I didn't want to have a guru. So, and they said, well, you know, this is our guru. And I said, no, I don't want a guru. I like the meditation, but you know, no guru. And then, so I got initiated, and before I got initiated, the night before I got initiated, like I knew it was really important, and I had the feeling that, well, it would be really good if I stayed up all night long and meditated, like the knights in medieval times. They prayed in the churches before they got their knighthood. Anyway, that was the idea of how important it was. I didn't stay up all night long meditating. But anyway, I got initiated. And then a few months after that, I went to a retreat out in the country. We did an Akanda Kirtan. And then we did our sadhana. And I remember in that sadhana, I thought, I'm going to try really hard just to do all of my meditation. Try as hard as I can to do it. And then after the meditation, the Dada who was running the retreat, that was Dada Abik, who's now Abhidevananda Dada, he put his hands up like this, and he said, Baba sends his namaskar to you all. And he moved his arms, his hands around like this, around the room. And when it came to me, I started laughing and crying. And I just felt this amazing, amazing, unconditional love and peace and bliss that I'd never felt that before with anyone in my life. And It was just so wonderful, that just to feel completely loved. And so that was my contact with Baba, and that's how I came to have a guru. And it was so beautiful, that experience was so beautiful, that straight away I said in my mind, oh Baba, please give me a hard time so I can be closer to you quicker. And then I thought, oh, why did I say that? But that's what just, it was just so amazing, you know, that feeling of bliss. And another part of how I came to Anandamarga and how I came to have a guru was that the same year before I get into Anandamarga, it was the 1st of January, it was Melbourne, so it was a hot day. I thought, I'll hitchhike down to the beach. So I was hitchhiking down to the beach, and then I didn't actually take a lot of drugs in my life, but that was in the 70s, and it's part of the story. So but the boy I was hitching with, he said, do you want to stop in the botanical gardens and smoke a joint? So I said yes, which is uncharacteristic of me, actually. But anyway, after that, I was stoned, and I was walking home through Melbourne because I wasn't going to keep hitching. I walked past this picture theatre. It was showing a surf movie, and the surf movie was called Follow the Sun. And in brackets after that, it said in colour, because it was some movies were in colour, some were in black and white. And I thought to myself, 1st of January, I thought, that's what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to follow the sun in colour. And later that year, came to Anandamarga, and I found out that Baba's name, Prabhat Ranjan, means the sun that not only illuminates everything, but fills it with colour.
Not so subtle, huh? So you got initiated, how long, and I think you worked as an LFT for a while.
Mm-hmm.
How long before you met Baba, and what was that like?
Well, Baba was in jail then, and I didn't go to India to see him in jail, so I didn't go until 1979, so that was 6 years later. And actually, when I met Baba, I'd heard all these stories from people going to see him, how wonderful it was. And so I was expecting that. I was expecting to go and see Baba, and it would be wonderful, you know? And I went there to see him, and I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. Day after day, didn't feel anything. So I talked to the Didis, and they said, look, and there was one of Baba's darshans where he says, it's in a Prabhat Sangeet as well, about loving, like I was wanting something from Baba, instead of loving him to please him, you know. And once I got that, and I was able to surrender that, wanting to feel something from him, and then I started to feel something. And yeah. So I did go, I was fortunate to be able to go and see Baba quite often, every couple of years. And in the early days, there weren't many foreign margis who went there. So, well, in the 80s, maybe 81. And I remember one time when I got to give Baba a garland, and so I put the garland over his neck. And he said, he smiled at me and he said, is this for me? Many years later, after Baba had gone, in fact, we had a retreat in Adelaide, and we had a Baba photo there, and one sister was making garland to give to Baba, to put on this photo. And it was just a small retreat, so I had the idea that why not let everybody have the chance to do it. So we stood in a line and we all held the garland and put it on Baba's photo. And doing that, it really felt like I was really putting it on him, you know, even though he wasn't in his body anymore. And so I was so happy to be able to give that experience to the other people at the retreat who may not have even seen him physically. Some experiences I had with Baba that really... One time I was at a retreat, a sister's retreat at Gympie, and we had this meditation by the creek, and I doing my sadhana, and then I had the feeling of just really being in love with Bawa. And that lasted for about 2 weeks. Just the way I might be in love with a person. So I haven't had that very often with Bawa, but I had that then. It was just so special. Just thinking of him all the time, and I went off to LIT training to do it for the second time because of that experience. And
when was the next time you went and saw Bawa? Was there anything significant that you remember?
Well, there was one time I went with Janaki, sister from Australia, and it was her first time going to India, and she wanted Bawa to do a miracle.
Everyone does.
So we were there, the two of us, in the front yard at Lake Gardens, and Bawa came out, and I was standing there, and there was a few Indian brothers there with me. And Bawa was asking these Indian brothers, and they were saying their names. It wasn't in English, but I could hear that they were saying their names. Well, that's what it sounded like anyway. And then he said something to me in Bengali, you know. So I said, Mahima. But that wasn't what he was asking me. I had no idea what he was asking me. Anyway, then afterwards, Janaki said to me, why didn't you answer Bawa when he was asking you? And I said, I couldn't understand him. He was talking in Bengali, and she had heard it in English. Yeah. So she got her miracle.
Stories like that.
And that same time, Bawa had just started giving the Neo-Humanism discourses. So he asked Janaki and I, he said, are you enjoying the Neo-Humanism discourses? Are they being translated into English? And they weren't. So, and the Dadas were saying, no, say. But I said, no, they're not being translated into English, so we haven't heard them. And then Bawa called us, PA, come. And he arranged for the classes for us to have a special class getting the translation of Neo-Humanism. So, and then he called us down the side and he told us what he'd arranged for us. And then he said, well, are you happy now? Now, are you happy now? Now you can smile more. So Neo-Humanism has always been really special to me, of Bawa's philosophy, because I was there when he gave it, and because he amazingly, you know, really made the effort to have it translated for us. The last time I saw Bawa was at Sunday Darshan in Tiljala, and he gave Guru Shikash at the Sunday Darshan. And people were surprised afterwards, oh, you know, how come Guru Shikash? And Didi Mitra was talking to us, Didi Ananda Mitra talking to us later on about saying when you do Guru Shikash, like it's about really looking in Baba's eyes and feeling that love. And I really love that practice so much. So it's not just a practice, of course. It's real, like waking up in the morning and then first thing is visualizing Bawa doing his mudra, but focusing on his eyes and focusing on him loving me and starting the day feeling that love. I really love how our path is about love. Of course, it's not all about love, but, you know, that's the essence. The essence is about...
Really, you know, today starts off with his love towards you.
Yeah. And like I didn't. Yeah, and that reassuring that I'm loved, and I had another experience with Baba, which I don't share very often, but it was when I was in Umagi before I saw him, and I was in a relationship, not a very good relationship, and I came along to DC, and one Magi brother sang a bhajan, it was English bhajans, and he sang this bhajan, and then I saw Baba's face in front of me, and Baba said to me, he said my name, and he said, you're looking for a lover, and I'm your lover, and I'm just waiting for you to come to me. So that was just
touching.
Yeah, just amazing. Just because it's true. I want love. I want someone to love me, and for Baba to say,
I'm the one.
I'm the one. So not I'm your father or your friend. Of course, Bandhu. Not wanting to be parted from me, but
So the Krishna love.
Yes. I think it was very special, very, very special that I was able to go to see Baba when weren't many people around, and spend time there. Once at Ananda Nagar, I was able to plant beans in his garden. That was very special, planting beans that he was going to eat. but really, the most special times I've had with Baba in my life have been not physically with him in India, but at other times. And I like to share them to reassure people who weren't able to go and see him physically. Yeah. So one time when I went to India in the early days, early 70s, and Baba was traveling around North India, so I was traveling with him, with some other Margis, and he was doing DMC in each little town. And then in this one place, I can't remember which one it was, but the Didis wanted volunteers for GV guards to stand beside Baba when he was doing DMC. Not close on, it would be at the side of the pandal dais. And of course, nobody really wanted to do it because they'd rather sit in front of him when he's doing his mudra. But I said, yeah, I'd like to do it. So I had a GV uniform on, and I was standing there, and Baba was giving his darshan, and it was in a big tent. And there was quite a lot of communist agitation at that time. When I was actually standing there, there wasn't, but I was taking it very seriously, so I was looking at everyone in the crowd just to make sure nobody had a gun or anything were going to come rushing up to try and attack Baba. And so, of course, I couldn't look at him when he was giving his darshan or doing his mudra. But that was one of the best experiences of his mudra that I had. Because again, it's not me wanting something, it's me being service, me giving. Yes. Yeah. There was another time in that trip as well where a big pandal, and the communists were trying to attack from outside the pandal, and it was just a tent. And it was after Baba's darshan, and the brothers were doing tandava. So they were doing tandava, and the people trying to attack the tent from the outside, and it just felt like the battle between good and evil, you know? it was so powerful. Baba in the middle, indeed. And of course, he was unconcerned about these people trying to poke their sticks through the tent. Okay. That was that.